CliffCentral.com.
Good morrow. It is Monday. We are alive. We're all alive. I'm hoping you are doing well at home. It is the GCS. And hey, feels good to be here. I'm joined this morning by Simpiwe and Leanne. Leanne, what's happening?
Hi. Ooh, lovely rain we're having here in Johannesburg. And I believe in the Karoo as well. Yes, I am very closely monitoring a swimming pool as I'm house sitting at the moment.
Whose house?
Which is about a pinky nail, my brother's house. It's about a pinky nail to go before it overflows. So I'm just watching the skies and watching the levels. And otherwise, the whole thing is, I mean, I know I could backwash it and get some water out. I have to open a box that's quite dodgy when it comes to what I'm going to find inside, given my phobias of certain insects. I'm not very keen to do that. So,
well, you revealed a sex toy box to us. I mean, you revealed a sex toy box a couple of weeks ago, so nothing should scare you.
That didn't have spiders in it.
Well, if you are joining us, Gareth.
If you have spiders in your sex box, yeah. you're a bit freaky.
Yeah. No. Hey, listen. Rather spiders, I would say, than cobwebs. At least if it's spiders, means the spider got in. If there's cobwebs, oh boy, you haven't served the system for a while, and that makes everyone grouchy. So that's not good for society. It is the GCS, of course. Gareth is still not here. He is still getting his back tickled in a secret location, and he will be back on Thursday. So the burning platform, of course, is when Gareth makes his return. Leanne, good weekend? Bad weekend?
Yeah, excellent.
Oh, really? Excellent weekend, you'd say?
Yes.
Wow.
So as mentioned, I'm house-sitting and... you could draw the short straw when it comes to places that you need to house it, right?
Yeah.
But in this case, it's absolutely lovely. Things like swimming pools, aircon, beautiful dog for company, and beautiful weather over the weekend. So it was just great. And you guys?
So Simpiwe, how was your weekend? Election results, election fever. You know, any of that in Boxburg?
Mine was great. No, no. But I had a great weekend. I tried out a new spot and it was actually really rad. So I had fun this weekend with the girls and just lived my best life.
All right. Well, before we get to Simpiwe living her best life, let's obviously you have to talk about the elections, right? Like, this is what people do. They get caught up and they think they voted, so everyone wants to talk about the elections. You know, it's in the news. We might as well deal with it, and we might as well also be honest at this time. We're just going to talk about Johannesburg and Cape Town. Like, where else do people want to know about? You know, the rest of the, you know. Come on. Yeah. Like, come on. Let's just do Joburg and Cape Town. The rest, you've got newspapers. You can get to it. How did your district go? Do you know, Leanne? Did it go your way? Are you thinking, oh my God, I should have maybe fixed the vote? Maybe, you know, tried a bit of corruption?
My district was unchanged. My ward was unchanged from last time.
Mm-hmm.
But it was in my favor. You know, again, it's in the land of the blind, the one-eyed is king. You know, it's not necessarily the party that I would love to see at the top. And, you know, certainly there aren't any parties that I'm blown over by. But, yeah, it's okay.
It's okay. Yeah, I do kind of wish I could just vote for stay the same. Like I was saying this to Pumi and Gareth last week, is I'm so happy with how it's going in my area. Like, I don't even care about the party. I just wish keep the people the same. In fact, take them out of their parties. Whoever's running my street in particular, keep those people exactly the same and double their salaries. I'm so happy with how it's going for me. Not an option.
Not many people can say that.
Not an option, though. So I don't know if they, I don't know if they won. But so before we get into the election results today, we got coming up is Dr. Hanan, an interesting dilemma, which at my age, and I'm 35, which we all start to get into, or perhaps not. I mean, if you've got a relationship with your parents, yeah, stick around. 6:40 Central African time, we'll have Dr. Hanan. And then a little bit later, Collectomania is a really interesting one. If you want for the classics, we'll ensure that you are with us there. But let's go to the election results. And I guess the two key results and the two key parties, for those who don't know, for our international listeners, obviously the ANC and the DA. So in the city of Johannesburg, I'll just give you a big picture. The ANC, 620,000 votes is what's been tallied. 33.6% is what's happening on Times Live. It's quite cool for idiots like me. They've actually got it nice and color-coded. So, you know, if you're a moron like me and a kindergarten still your thing and your comprehension level, then the city of Johannesburg, 33.6% for the ANC, 26.1%. So, yeah, the ANC taking a massive, massive hit in Johannesburg. Like, and that's important, right? Is they know, yeah. And most of us know, I think we say it in jest, but it is the economic hub, not just of Africa, but certainly drives the engine in this country, is if you're pulling on those levers, that's really, really important. 33%, holy smokes. That, no good, huh? People are hurtful.
Yeah. I'm glad to see it. I mean, we've all seen it coming, and I would have been disappointed if they received more votes. But given their poor performance and people's recognition and acknowledgement of their poor performance, mm-hmm. I just don't know if they'll panic about it. Will they think to themselves, well, we obviously aren't doing anything wrong? I mean, we obviously are doing something wrong, but I don't think so. I think they might just contribute it to low voter turnout or something else.
The system.
No.
System offline.
The system. So, Simpiwe, you were nodding your head like you think they're going to panic. You think the ANC might...
Yes.
Oh, really?
Definitely. Yes, because I think I saw an article this past weekend that they're willing to... tag team with anyone at this point. And so that kind of tells you that they're a bit worried about their positioning. And for them to say, well, if you want to join us and we can do a coalition together, anybody who's open to do it, it tells you that they're not in a good state of mind. And they know that they're losing their ground. And the next elections is going to be very interesting. Like, I'm more excited now because it's like, if we can change the local ones, imagine national. They're going to lose so much. Like, and I'm happy. Like, in the words of Siv, pants in the ANC, pants.
Siv, yes. But listen, Siv, how old are you now? You 20?
Well, how old do I look, Mbilelo?
Well, I mean, you know, old enough. You look old enough. But you're from a different generation from Leanne and I. I'd say, Leanne, you and I, tragically, you know, the sands of time, our best years have passed.
Damn.
Yeah.
I'm on the way down, you know.
Yeah, there's no avocado mask that's going to do it for you and me, Leanne. We you and I just need to accept that our best...
We have to accept what we've been dealt with.
That's
it.
Accept the passing of time. But some people, you're from a different generation. You're still in your 20s. Your best years are ahead of you. Is what is the feeling in and amongst kind of your friends in terms of, number one, voting, but the state of the options in the country? Because I know the sentiment from my demographic, from the people I talk to, but what are guys feeling on the ground in terms of people you've spoken to? Is politics something that comes up, or is it just,
not really. So I'm 26. I'm definitely a born free. And it's definitely a split. You have the ones that are like, I'm not voting because there's no change that's going to happen. Like, I'm not doing it. I get it, any and easy. And then you have the others who are like, okay, cool. I understand the importance of voting. But if we're being honest, we don't really have a better devil to pick from. Like, it's not like we are going from one bad party to a really good party. It's just like, we're probably going to go from bad to worse, but not in the sense of what we're experiencing now. And so for me, I'm like, personally, I'm like, we should still vote, because the important thing is to change who's currently in leadership. Like, we've seen that they're trash, we've seen that they don't deliver, we've seen the corruption. And so let's go to, you know, somebody else who, you know, yeah, they're promising us things and we know they might not deliver, but let's try something different, because what we're doing, it's insanity, doing the same thing and hoping that there's going to be change. So let's stop that, get them out. They did what they had to do. We are now in democracy. Let's see who the new guys are who can, you know, take us to the next level, and hopefully that level is a better level.
Yeah, and I think, Leanne, that is something that I'm picking up a lot. And I know, Leanne, you're probably, the difference between you and me is you're a really nice person. So you really talk to people. You get a feel for what's going on the ground. I'm a little bit disconnected, but it's something that I'm picking up, and it does worry me. Like it does worry me, because at some stage, I will die. Simpiwe needs to come in. And if the apathy exists now, I mean, that's no good going forward, right? We need to do something about that. Like, voting and being an active citizen is really, really important. If our young people don't feel that energy now, boy, oh boy, why would that change in 10 years?
I mean, you have to remember that they're on the sidelines, but there are a lot of people who just don't even believe in a democracy, in that way of voting, in that way of having the leadership. So I think that some interesting opinions will start developing with the young uns. And I don't know if, you know, I'm seeing more and more of this voting apathy. So I don't know if things are going to change. Maybe by the time you and I reach our graves, we won't have a democracy. It'll be a completely different way of running systems and countries and procedures. Who knows?
Well, what part?
Also, Mbulelo,
yes.
You can't. I think that your maths is a bit out, because when you die, Simpiwe is not going to be taking over. She's going to be knocking on your tombstone, going, "I'm next. 10 more years." So I think we have to think way younger than Simpiwe and the unborn, if we're going to look at that scenario.
Well, I mean, by that time, Simpiwe probably starts drinking carrot juice for the rest of her life. By that time, you know, what do people say now? Like, 60 is the new 40. By then, 113's the new 46. You know what I mean? She's probably an android by then. Let's go to another country which is also in South Africa, and it's not Swaziland sorry, I made this mistake on the weekend with the Eswatini. It's Cape Town, which is a completely different country, but we do get to have to tolerate them because they have the best lifestyle and a mountain in the middle of the city. Now, a massive thing here for the DA. So they have got 58.2% of Cape Town's vote. That is staggering. To me, that is staggering, especially with how things have gone over the last 2-3 years. I would have thought this was the ANC's opportunity. If they didn't seize it now, with how unhappy a large, and I'm not talking about the hoity-toities on the Atlantic seaboard, I think the vote was always going to stay the same there in the southern suburbs. But there was a super disgruntled emerging middle class, and certainly those who are feeling sort of left out and cast out. 58% the DA got.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think when the tables first turned, it wasn't that long ago. It was really quite recently that the DA took over the ANC in that area. And I think at that point, the ANC was probably like, oh, it's a bit of a fluke and we can probably get it back. But now,
boof. Yeah, so that's what they'd say in Cape Town.
That's
so,
it. It's done.
I mean, Nelson Mandela Bay, really close, 39% for both. Yeah, you know, but that's P is PE. You know, the winds of change. But those are the two important ones. I mean, people say I'm an elitist because I only care about Johannesburg and Cape Town, but I am an elitist. So, you know, like, what must I do about that?
Don't change on our accounts. It's okay, Mbilelo.
Yeah. I mean, people live elsewhere because Joburg and Cape Town work. All right. Well, before people get too mad about that. So let me ask you this, Leanne. Did you encounter, because you live in a really interesting part of Africa, actually, because I like Melville. It's such a melting pot, right? You're in that melting pot, sort of art meets some serious players that have built this country. There's activists who live there. It's an awesome sort of intersection. Was there any like sort of conflicty vibes or what was the feeling throughout the voting sort of 2 weeks in terms of leading up now and post?
As mentioned before, because, you know, the DA was already leading in my ward. Mm-hmm. There was never a feeling of, and it was by a large amount. So there was never a feeling of, oh my gosh, what if the ANC had to win? Mm. And again, my voting station was so empty. The IEC workers were bored. They were, I mean, as mentioned, the guy who gave me my tattoo on my finger, he was so bored that he just let the ink run all over my hand.
Yeah.
They were just sitting there and yawning. And I said to the lady at the first table, this is a long day for you guys, because I got there at about 4. And she went, sure, so quiet and so bored. Obviously people were comfortable and thought, there's nothing that's going to be hotly contested, and there was nothing really to fight for. We knew that we were okay. And again, I say okay, not brilliant.
Yeah, not outstanding. So I don't know how to say this name or if it's just a handle, but Svindile is how I'll say it. Is worth mentioning that a new Action SA came third in Johannesburg. Herman Mashaba is... Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm always careful of people like Herman Mashaba, because I don't like politicians that play low-hanging fruit. I mean, going after... I mean, his real political line is really deal with the foreigners and try and come in with a... You know, it's like... It's such easy politics, and it's politics of ancient Greece. So I'm skeptical if that's his only thing, because it's been his only drum that he's been beating. And I know people kind of like him because... South Africa's on edge, right? Everyone's emotional, so he knows that, and he's played into what are the concerns. Is we don't have jobs. You do the Trump thing, really. I'm not saying he's Donald Trump, but you know, is deal with the foreigners. No, maybe deal with some internal stuff. But okay. And your thoughts on Herman Mashaba? People seem to like him because for whatever reason they think he was in business, even though it's kind of mostly from political ties. If you do know the story of how he made his money, but okay, probably a different conversation. Your thoughts on Herman? Yeah. Is he any different, or is he just another guy?
I felt like the elections kind of crept up on me, and I didn't have enough time to be exposed to Action SA and to read them. You know, I felt a bit of pressure there for a moment. but I know a lot of people who did vote. I know personally people who voted Action SA.
Wow.
And it's made me think, okay, maybe there is a player here. Let me do some research and see exactly what's behind this party. But at the moment, I don't know much, because I was a bit bamboozled. It's like, oh, the elections are here and there's a new party.
But good for him, right?
So in my case, it felt like I was voting. It felt like what a lot of Americans would have felt like in getting Trump out of the White House. Was I voted for Biden just so that I could get rid of Trump.
Yeah, that's, isn't it?
That was like my thinking.
Yeah.
Oh, not saying that I love Biden.
Yeah.
Just I voted for him because I needed Trump out.
I hate him less than I hate Trump. Yeah, yeah. And Simpua, you, Herman, what are you thinking there? Is he any feeling of something, Yana? Or is it just the same old, some guy who just wants the power?
I don't really have like a like him, don't like him. I think the reason why people voted for him is A, he does have a track record, so it's not the first time that he's doing this whole politicking thing, and we've seen what he's done in the past, and I think that kind of gives a reassurance to say, okay, once upon a time you did, you know, you were the mayor of the city of Johannesburg and you did a fairly decent job. It wasn't great, it wasn't hoo-ha, but it was a decent job for us to kind of sort of trust you in this new step that you've taken with Action SA. I also don't know much about it. I feel like we never really, like, politicians in SA don't campaign. So unless you take it upon yourself to kind of do the research to find out what's going on, you never really know until 2 days before there's posters everywhere and everybody's like, vote for me, vote for me. And you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Who's this Mafikizolo? Like, when did you die? Why do we have 50-something people on the ballot? Excuse- oh my, okay. But that's the only reason why I think he really got, like, a strong turnout. Because people kind of know his history. And it's decent compared to everybody else. Right? Because right now, we're in the pits of the pits. And anyone, like, literally anyone who's going to give us the bare minimum that's just better than the current ANC, we're going to grasp and take and be like, whoo, yes.
Yeah, listen, the barrier to entry is extremely low. Rebellious Ruth says something interesting, and Leanne, you alluded to this. She says, I still blame the IEC, and they have a huge part of the blame to acknowledge because they couldn't handle the queues. And I wonder how many people did get there, you know, and go, nah, you know what, no. I'm not doing potholes. I'm not also doing load shedding. And then also when I want to come and change it, because people, once they've had enough, they've had enough. And you know what? I might as well go and buy an inverter. I might as well, you know, go onto gas. Go, like, people have had enough. I wonder how many people turned around at the queues. I don't know if you guys know anybody who 4 hours in just said, no, forget this. It's boiling hot. There's no toilets here. There's, you know, my kids are screaming. I'm out of here.
Yeah, and it makes me think as well of how many people had to travel to get to their district to vote and the effort that was put in. They get there and then there are these queues. I mean, I'm just looking at Gareth. Gareth was sent me a picture of where he was in the queue and it was crazy long. And I think at one point he probably thought, I'm not going to do this. So, yeah. Queuing is a huge thing. Again, it totally didn't affect my district. Unless I just chose the perfect time. But I think definitely there would have been people. I know my tenant even said, I saw the queues and I carried on driving.
Wow. So to what Simpiwe was saying, Michael says, I live in a rural community, Zuzile. They vote for who hands out free T-shirts and food hampers. I mean, that is classic stuff. Mm-hmm. So where my father is from, Gwakiba, which is, if you know where Mthatha is, it's about an hour past that, very, very rural, is actually the community leaders there have blocked any political parties coming in for years now. So they, especially around campaign time, they don't want anybody coming in there. And it gets, again, there was violence again now, it gets violent. They don't want any politicians anymore within the village of Gwakiba at all. So I totally hear what Michael is saying there, is that I know people in villages have, well, I mean, it's anecdotal, but I can't imagine if people Gwakiba have had enough. I can't imagine it's just them who are, you know, violently blocking politicians. So, hey. You know? Hey, but you don't want to be too negative. We can turn it around. People are still having spicy pumpkin lattes. There's still economy happening. You know, is the politicians aren't everything. And I did something this weekend which I haven't done for a long time. Right, I went to watch football at a pub with some people, and I realized, like, officially that. Ugh, man, you got to be careful where you go, because fine while the football was on, service was terrible at this place, just maybe the worst service ever. I'll probably never go back to this place. But then there was a fight afterwards, and I realized at that very moment. Fight. Yeah, like, I don't know, guys, you know, football, it's inevitable. Know. Yeah, you get into it. And, you know, I just want to say at this stage, it is a North Riding. It's my fault for going to a place in North Riding. I hear you, your judgmental faces. Yeah, I shouldn't have gone there at all. Never again am I going to that place. But hey, pubs, a dangerous place, punches flying around. I mean, do you guys ever, like, I'm not going to those places? Or are you just like, it's a part of the mix to be out at pubs and things and there's fights? Some people, you live in Boxburg. I don't, so, like, I would imagine. You know.
Yeah, but let me share with you something my grandmother taught me from a very young age as a young female. She was like, hey, never get into a fight. Right? Especially if the person is not prettier than you. Because you have more to lose than that next person. And ever since she's taught me that, best believe I don't, like, I'm like, I can see it happening. I'd rather run. I'm way too pretty to mess up this pretty face. Like, I'm sorry. I that's not me. I don't do that. And I do, like, when I do go out, I also go out with guys because I feel a bit more safer. And even they're like, guys, we're not trying to fight. We handsome gents here, trying to, you know, get girls, trying to be pretty, trying to be smooth. Fighting is the ghetto, and we're not about that life. So, no, 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 and no.
Yeah, Leanne, do you still get out there with mates and there's action, or are you avoiding those types of places now? Because Jolly Roger, I mean, no. Hey.
It's no, Jolly Roger's off the cards for me. I'm actually house, as I mentioned, house sitting, and I'm in the same suburb as the Jolly Roger. So every time I drive down the road to go back to Old Melville to feed my cats, I have to pass the Jolly, and I look inside and I just think, I never want to go back in there again. But it's going to happen one day. One day something's going to happen. There are going to be a bunch of us who are like, let's relive the old days. But no, generally avoiding people. I would rather go to an empty pub than a full one.
Yeah.
Honest. Whereas, you know, when you're younger, you want the opposite.
Fighting's a young man's sport. Like, I'm cool with you getting your eye socket cracked, but like at my age, you can't do it, right? At 23, cool, you got no responsibilities anyway. You're not pitching up for varsity anyway. So, you know, it's cool. For me, at my age, I don't need to be punched in the face. I've got to be at work on Mondays. I am trying to pay taxes at the end of the year. So, yeah, probably something that's not happening again. You know what happened is I let my own standard slip. Don't leave Morningside. That's the standard. Is like once you leave that bubble, there's Neanderthals out there. So,
all right, Rubilala. I'm so sorry that you're so traumatized because you actually went to North Riding instead of staying in, Morningside. I'm so sorry.
Your sarcasm doesn't make it any better. You Neanderthals out there. Listen, Simpio, so you went to Tiger's Milk in Bedford. You've got something, I think, hilarious. A hilarious story to share.
So, for those who don't know, I like trying out places, and I document those places and put it up on my Instagram and TikTok, right? Mm-hmm. And so a mate and I, we're like, girl, we haven't seen each other. Let's try this place, Tiger's Milk in Bedford View. Mind you, I hardly hang out in Bedford View. And we're like, this is a cool spot. Let's go. We go. We get there. Drinks are great. Food. Nah, the dessert wasn't great. So I can say that much. But, you know, as the night is going, it turns into this, like, vibey, let's have a draw, let's party. I will admit, it was like 90% Caucasian people. So already I was like, ooh, I don't know if they're going to play my music. But let me tell you, we were there the whole night. White people know how to have fun. Like, yo, I was like... yo, I was shook. I was like, what? Like, when the DJ first entered... and the first set, already those people on the dance floor, like, woo, yeah, let's go. I was like, yes, let's go. And then they play music and they're dancing, they're doing all the movie, and they're out of rhythm, Shem. Like, y'all can't dance, but I love them. I love it. I love to see y'all out of rhythm. Like, every, woo, yeah, like, the whole night, just like, whoa. I was like, wow, this is such a vibe. Like, they were... doing it and woo,
yeah.
And I had a great time, and they didn't play the Yanos once, but I had a great night, and shout out, like, I probably will be going there just to hear some, you know, goof goof doof doof and see more.
Yeah. Have it out.
That was amazing. That was amazing. But shout out to the Caucasians. Y'all know how to party.
We do, and we don't really care about being in rhythm.
And it shows.
A lot of us do. Like for me, I actually can't physically watch any video, whether it's TikTok or whatever, or in real life. Someone who can't dance in time to the music, I literally can't watch. But so there are some of us who like to keep it in the rhythm, but we all know that we're not the best dancers in the world.
Let me tell you something. The most thrilling people, or the most thrilling thing I think for black people, is when a white person can really get down. Like every now and then, they pop out of nowhere. Then it's on. Well,
if you watch shows like America's Got Talent and Britain's Got Talent and all of these sorts of shows and their dance crews, you'll see that it's like a really ghetto dance crew and mainly black.
Yeah.
And there'll be like one white guy who can really get down. But that's about the ratio. It's about 15 to 1.
And that white guy is going to be the blackest guy in the group, by the way. Like, as soon as white people are into it, they are only dating black girls and they only listen to 90s classic hip hop. So, shout out to you, Simpio, for surviving in Bedford View at Tigers and Milk amongst the Corks. Good for you, man.
Very good.
Yeah, like I'm open to recommendation, guys. Unlike Mbilelo, I don't mind traveling. You know, I don't mind seeing and being in new places, and just experiencing different vibes, and just being like, "Oh, this is rad. Oh, this is not for me. That's my life." Like I'm open to it, and maybe one day I'll get to Mbilelo. But for now, let's see what the world has to offer.
Yeah,
definitely.
No, right way to go. All right, let's quickly get some headlines. We've got Dr. Hanan coming up in a little bit. You want some headlines?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's see what's happening in the
let's
world.
Let's do it.
Beyond Bedford View and North Riding, where apparently it's just too much to have aircon and have some service at the table that I'm at. All right, so Tesla billionaire Elon Musk, of course, he's from Pretoria, has emerged from that third world part of South Africa to be one of the greatest entrepreneurs the world has ever known. He says he's launched a Twitter poll, and this is such an interesting thing. This guy's such an enigma, right? And he's launched a Twitter poll to his 62.6 million followers, asking if he should sell 10% of his shares. The vote, which closes later on Sunday, so that would have been yesterday, could see him dispose of $21 billion of stock in the electric car maker. He promised to abide by the result of the poll, a response to billionaire's tax proposed by the US Democrats. The plan could see Mr. Musk, who's one of the richest men, face a huge tax bill. Yesterday, 57% of the people were saying, yep, it's time to do your thing there, Mr. Musk. You know, this guy, what are your thoughts on Elon Musk, huh?
This guy is such a player. Like, he knows what he's doing. Like, he's so strategic. I love how, A, he uses his social media, which is, it's great, because he knows how to get people talking, and he knows how to change things and do things. And it's not by mistake that he tweeted this. And B, I don't think the average Joe will be able to afford just even 1% of Tesla. So even if he does it, it's like the people that are going to buy in, best believe, are also his mates that are multi-billionaires and multi-millionaires. Like, it's not going to be the average Joe. He's not opening up the industry of wealth. No, 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 Chief. No, no, no. It's going to be for him and his mates.
Oh, Elon, him and his old man, Errol Musk, some guy to check out. So, you know what? Sometimes none of our heroes are perfect. I do love Elon Musk for everything he's done for mankind, because he really gives it a proper go. And we need people like him who are just all in on something. He's just all in on something, and he's a. You know, this happens with these kinds of people. They can't do anything at 50%. Speaking of 50%, a company that implements sort of our electricity are in the news again. Of course, one day after elections, we had load shedding, right? Like one day. They didn't waste time, suspended it while you vote. Most of you won't pitch up. We didn't know that. We might as well have had load shedding anyway. But anyway, stage two load shedding to be implemented throughout the week. Cape Town, the story being reported out of Cape Town. Stage two load shedding will continue throughout the week, starting from 5 a.m. on Monday until 5 a.m. on November the 13th, which I believe is Sunday. The 13th, power utility Eskom said on Saturday. Eskom said in a statement that events over the past 2 days have required extensive use of emergency generating reserves. This hampered the recovery of the dam levels at the pumped storage power stations, depleting already low diesel levels. I mean, you know what, Leanne, you're a journalist. I think you are the best person to describe to our international viewers. If I had to say load shedding to somebody, what is it?
It's emergency procedures to fix up what's been fucked up in the past. Basically. It's covering up the mistakes of the past.
Yeah, it's...
I don't know what happened when it came to planning for power, and not the power we were talking of before, not political power, but energy. Yeah. I don't know what happened, but it's a dog show right now. I'm actually just looking for this photograph to share with you. But if it wasn't Eskom's load shedding, City Power also had a moment where they were unable to provide power, and then down the road from me. This is where the electric wires and cables were the day before.
Easy nyog.
They are no longer. They're gone. So between those three, my suburb certainly has battled with power for the last few days. And also it's not very predictable either. You can look at your Eskom Supush app.
Yeah.
But it's not the Bible. When you're supposed to be load shedding, you might not be.
Yeah.
So it's very difficult to predict. And it's just like, living on a farm somewhere, you know?
Some might say it is like the Bible.
The wind's not blowing and the windmill's not turning, you're not going to have power or water. It feels like that. Yeah, it doesn't feel controlled at all.
Doesn't it feel like we're going to have to till the fields and pump our water like from the well? So both my families are rural, so they still pump water where my parents grew up. So it does feel like we're headed there.
It's probably more reliable than anything else at the moment.
That's a good point. I mean, listen, I do know somebody who knows the writer, and if anything, from what this person has said to me, is if anyone's going to fix it, it's the guy who's in now. So he's not beloved because he's chopping heads off, but he's doing it quietly. So listen, if you neglect things, there's a painful turnaround, right? Neglect things, it's whether in a personal capacity, even worse on a large scale, when you neglect for an extended period of time, is... Perhaps just to close off on this one, to give our international listeners, because if you're in South Africa, you obviously know because your lights probably aren't on and you're listening to us on an inverter right now. But what's really happened is that we are in a process of 27 years of neglect for whatever the reasons are. So whatever political, whatever your race is, put that aside, is that we've had 27 years, give or take, of unspoken corruption and neglect. And what tends to happen now is the ANC has been in a system of wanting to fix things rather than maintain things. It's always easier in life if you maintain, right? I think everybody knows that. If you ever have to fix something, it's murder. When it fix your marriage, fix your life, maintain. Always want to be maintaining. And we are trying to fix, and it is, boy oh boy. But there's great South Africans like Elon Musk and other great people trying to do great things on the ground. So let's hope all of this, the load shedding now, Dereta and the guys, that they're just knuckling down and they're trying to turn it around, right?
Wouldn't want to be them.
Would not.
That's all I can say.
Want to be them. Yeah.
It's like turning a ship around in the Suez Canal.
What has happened there, by the way? Have we unclogged that pipeline there?
It's all sorted. But there were a lot of Halloween costumes, which I appreciated, where they were the ship. So they you know, they had the ship in the front and the back of them with maybe braces holding
that,
it up.
That is.
And we're trying to navigate through just a normal home passage through doorways and bumping into people at the parties and going, sorry, sorry, I'm just trying to turn around.
Yeah.
Which I love. But that's what it's like at the moment.
You know? You gotta laugh. Oh, man. You do have to laugh. Do you guys want one more story, or do you guys rather want to tell me about what you did for the weekend? You want one more story?
Cool.
All right. The ANC is ready to talk with anybody. Now, Jesse Duarte is one of the most deplorable people I think I've ever come across. I've had the displeasure of meeting in my life, to be completely honest with you. Typical of the ANC cadres. But ANC ready to talk with any willing political party. I mean, the ANC said its negotiations team is willing to talk to any political party willing to work with them in a partnership or coalition. It says it has not made any agreements with anyone yet. I mean, huh? What are we doing here, Leanne? And Jesse Duarte, is that who you want as the face of let's get negotiations going? Really, ANC? Like, really? You couldn't find 300 people better than this mediocre, lukewarm. Like, Duarte, lukewarm. It's not the time, right? It's not the time. Can we present a new face or not?
No, but Mbulalo, don't you think they're on brand? Because ANC is very lukewarm.
Yeah.
They're very just like mediocre. They're very like, so it's on you can't expect excellence and them to have someone of excellence to represent them when they themselves are not that.
Yeah, no, hey, listen, it's kind of like you kind of behave in a silly way and your girlfriend eventually says, "All right, I'm leaving." So, all right, I'll change now. Okay, now. Because that's how the ANC have behaved, right? They've been a bad partner to South Africa. And our South Africans, when you come home from work, we've already packed our bags. I've got some news. I'm moving out. Oh, I'll change. Okay, I'll change now. Let's talk. Let's communicate better. I mean, anyway, so that's just where we are. I think that's enough for my political ranting. Let's move over to a person who's actually an expert in solving problems. Or helping you to solve your own problems, right, is before I bring on Dr. Hanan, I think it's important that we all acknowledge this is, as with the ANC, we are constantly in a relationship with those that came before us and have the power to, you know, put us in school, have a safe home, not have a safe home, by the way. And it's our parents, right? And I think we've got a really, really interesting topic this morning. So before I bring Dr. Hanan on, maybe let me quickly read this email. The email says, "Hi, Gareth. We are obviously none of us are Gareth. Gareth is away. He will be back on Thursday if you're just joining us on the GCS. But the email goes, "Hi, Gareth. Now to the point. Thanks for putting my comment to Dr. Hanan about the relationship with parents. I thought I'd elaborate on my question by email in hopes that it could sort of help to this week. My wife and I have been struggling with this dilemma for a few years now, in that our parents have not really grasped that we are fully grown adults with the potential, with potential valuable insights and opinions too. Our parents seem to be stuck in the mindset that they surely cannot learn anything new from their kids. Hence, they never seem to take our advice seriously on financial matters, for example, because we are just children. What do we know? We try to remind them that by the time they were our age, they already had established themselves in life with jobs, paying off cars, a house, and children, which is us, in school. So, and the crux of the matter, or as we say in the community where I live, the tachlas, is I think the fact that we do not have children of our own adds to the situation of blurred lines in that we aren't real adults in their eyes yet, and maybe more just playing house for now because this couple is single. So I joked on the show stating I wish we could have a take our parents to work day. So this is Matt, who's been on before, to show that side of our lives, the senior people in industry we interact with, the meetings and decisions we are required to give input in, etc. All in hopes of getting to the point across to them that we will always be their children, but we are no longer kids. It's a quandary that we continue to be confused by, and I'd really be interested to hear Dr. Hanan's take. And with that, I'll bring in Dr. Bushkin. Dr. Bushkin, good morning and welcome to you, sir.
Good morning to you guys. How are you?
Ah, superb. Superb, superb. I mean, I went to possibly the worst restaurant, but this isn't about me. I had an incredibly horrible experience in terms of service. Took me 20 minutes at a stage to get a Coca-Cola, but let's not delve too much on that. Matthew's issue with the parents, Dr. Khanan. I'm sure one you've heard before.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. It happens a lot. And you know, when I read the email, I thought the dominant topic or the dominant theme there is, you know, we enter into phases in our lives throughout our lives. And the rule sets change. The rule sets have to change with the different phases. So that's the way the world works. We have to adjust to the environment that we're in. You know, just as an interesting side story, I'm an avid reader of history, and the Roman Republic, before they were the Roman Empire, what they did, they had elections every single year on the 15th of March. This saying, beware of the Ides of March, they're referring to the 15th of March, and they had elections every single year where they're actually choose their generals, they choose their commanders, they choose their economic advisors, they choose their council, they choose the mayors, they choose all these different power positions. And it's kind of interesting because on the 15th of March, and I'm getting to my point in a minute, on the 15th of March, they had election. For 6 weeks, they celebrated that. So March, April, the 1st of May, they started doing all their work. So from exploration to gathering to the conflicts, so March, April, May, so May, June, July, August, September, October, November, they did all the exploration, and November, December, January, February, they rested. They took it easy. And people are like, why do they do that? It is because they understood that they can't fight against the elements. They can't fight against nature. If you know, in that region, it's very, very cold during the time that they rested, and they understood that if they went into war during cold months, they would die. As a matter of fact, more people died then of nature than of conflict. So they worked with nature, not against it. They didn't rebel nature. And psychologically, the moment we rebel against our nature, and the moment we rebel against the phase, the external world that we live in, we are not going to make it. We have to work with our external and internal environment. So my point is, when you are young parents, your world is X, you live in a forest. And when you grow up, or your children grow up, your world changes from the forest to the jungle. And if you stay with the same rules, and if you stay with the same structure, if you stay with the same rules set for yourself, you are not going to make it. And you got to adjust to the rule set of your nature. And the mistake that a lot of parents make, young parents, is they continue with the same rule sets, even though their environment changes. So to the email, what I want to advise, and for all parents, before we get to the email, to all parents, adjust to the nature. Don't fight and rebel against it, because if you fight and rebel with what's in front of you, you are not going to make it. You're using old rule sets to adjust to a brand new environment, which doesn't work. You could be an expert in the jungle, and if you go with the same rule set to the forest, you are going to die. You have to play with nature. Nature is unforgiving. It doesn't care about your sentiments, your feelings, how bad you really want something. Gravity is gravity, whether you want to believe it or not. So to all parents, work with the environment that you're in. But specifically to this individual that wrote the email, if you want to change somebody's opinion, you got to work with two things. One, logic. Obviously, you want to explain to your parents exactly where you're at and why they're not going to lose if they take your advice. Because a lot of people don't want to take other positions because they feel that they're going to lose. And if you explain to somebody why you're not going to lose if you go for another position, they're much more likely to take on your position. But secondly, the best teacher in the universe is experience. If you just show your parents. Why your position is better for them. I need to say this. Your position is better for them, not for you. Your position is better for them, and you show them through experience, they are much more likely to marry your position. So one, through logic and explaining to them that why their position is better, they take it. And if that doesn't work, the experience is an amazing teacher.
And I mean, it does get complicated because to them, we are always their kids. And I totally love what you're saying. And, you know, people sort of use a buzzword when it comes to psychology now. I think I hear it more often than not without being clear is people say, yeah, but we all need boundaries. I hear boundaries all the time, you know, like people are struggling with the relationship. What happened? Boundaries. It's quite kitsch right now to say it, right? Do we have sort of a psychological place to say, what does that mean, actually? What do boundaries mean with my parents? What do boundaries mean with my girlfriend? What do boundaries mean with my best friend? Is it important to have boundaries with your parents, or is it more convoluted than that?
You know, I've repeated this on the show a million times, and I keep on repeating it because it's my favorite quote of all time. If you're not the chess player of your life, you're a pawn in someone else's. If you don't know what you want, you will always end up being where somebody else wants to take you. And I've given this analogy before. If I am heading to Cape Town and that's my position, and somebody comes along and says, can I have a lift to Durban? The answer is no, because I'm going to Cape Town. You can come with me to Cape Town, but that's where I'm going. But if I don't know where I'm going, and somebody comes along and says, can I have a lift to Durban? Well, the answer is, yeah, why not? I was going nowhere anyway. And what ends up happening 20 years later, I was everywhere for everyone else, but not for me. The only reason why I was able to set boundaries is because I knew where I was going. If you don't know where you're going, it's impossible to set boundaries. If you don't know where you're going, it's impossible to set boundaries. But people don't want to even sit down for a second and commit to where they want to go. And people don't want to commit to where they want to go because of two things. One, it's very difficult to commit to a position because you got to let go of other things. I can't commit to Cape Town and still stay in Joburg. I can't commit to being married and still be single. I can't commit to job A and still have job B. So the commitment to a position is very difficult because human nature wants a bit of this. We want the buffet. We want a bit of this and a bit of that and a lot of this and a lot of that. So you don't want to commit to a position. But the main reason why people don't want to commit to a position is because it brings in the element of potential failure. The moment I set a target, it immediately comes with the possibility of missing it. So the moment I set a goal, there's the potential of me actually not making it and failing. So people don't want to set goals. They just want to roam around in their car, hope to reach that space of happiness, to hope to reach their goals. But if you're roaming around in a car, you're guaranteed to go nowhere. So to answer your question, Umbelelo, boundary is important, but the strategy, which is boundaries, is secondary to what do I want. The boundaries is secondary to what do I want, because if I don't know what I want, what am I setting boundaries for, in which direction? So the analogy that I give you, Mbulele, if I phoned you up and I say, I want to ask your advice, should I take a car? Should I take a bus? Should I drive? Should I walk? Should I swim? What has the most amount of value? What are you going to say to me?
The Alaria. What?
Yeah, well,
maybe make
you're going to say to me, you're going to say to me, where are you going?
Yeah, get where the hell out of here. You haven't even told me. Are you going to Brazil? Then don't swim.
Exactly right. Exactly right. You cannot tell me. And if I say to you, listen, don't worry about where I'm going, just tell me what has the most amount of value, you'd say, I can't do that. You cannot tell me what has the most amount of value, what strategy is the most valuable to me, if you don't know what the goal is. The mistake that people make is they set strategies first, hoping to get somewhere, and that's a mistake. You got to set the goals first and the strategies that service that goal. So goal first, then strategy, and that's where the boundaries come in.
Wow. So I don't know if you, Leanne, Simpiwe, you know, family is a complicated thing. I don't know if you guys have any questions for Dr. Hanan on this one.
No, it's just an observation from my side is, you know, people don't realize, you don't realize when you're in your 20s and 30s that come your 40s and 50s, it's probably when the dynamic with your parents are going to change the most due to them changing, due to them starting to require your assistance and to lean on you. And I think a lot of people forget that. You forget that that's a big phase of your life, and that's kind of where I am at the moment, which is a whole nother mental shift that you have to make. These people who you relied on for everything before and were the be-all and the end-all now are relying on you. And that's perhaps something to keep in mind to the person who asked the question. It's not always going to be like that. Nothing's forever. It's going to the dynamic's going to change.
And to Leanne's point, Dr. Bushkin, sorry to cut you off there, is, you know, I'd love to know what the science is, but as our parents' inevitable mortality comes, does that make them, are their genetic drivers so strong to go, my God, I still need to leave my little one behind, I haven't done enough, as no parent ever can, right, in this world? Does it have anything to do to a hard wiring? Oh my God, I'm going to die soon, I'm leaving this petal of mine.
For sure. I mean, the just a tinge or a hint of my own mortality definitely makes me do things differently and perceive the world in a different way. If I told you you've got 24 hours to live, I assure you, you're not going to see the world the same, and you're certainly not going to behave the same. And by the way, COVID did the same thing. So the suddenly when so many people around us are getting sick, some of them are dying, or some of them have passed away, that kind of shows the fragility of life. Life is not forever, and maybe I'm not as resilient physiologically as I thought I would be. Maybe my life is not going to extend till I'm 1,000 years. Maybe there is an end to it, which makes me appreciate the important things, my kids, my wife, the great beer that I have with my friends. You know, suddenly you appreciate the moment as opposed to live for 100 years time. But Leanne, to your point, as the phase change, what people have to understand, as your parents shift and get old and suddenly you have to look after them, it's you have to go through a process of grief. Because suddenly your world has changed. Suddenly what you know as X is in a split second turned into Y, which is very difficult for people because, you know, people naturally and subconsciously and automatically gravitate towards staying the same because that's what keeps us safe. And when your world has shifted, we don't want to shift with it. We want to stay with the same old rule set because it requires no extra knowledge and no extra effort. So if I can stay with the same rule set and the same strategies that I've already developed, well, that would be ideal for me, but it doesn't work because my environment has shifted as well. And what we have to accept is that change comes with grief. Change comes with grief. So when somebody says to me, is there any way for me to change my way, change my opinion, change my perspective without going through grief? The answer is not on planet Earth. Unfortunately, you have to accept that learning something new about something that's so important to you as your parents comes with letting go and therefore grief.
Well said. And also something Matt is going to have to learn is that it's going to be okay. And that's why Dr. Bushkin is here. Dr. Bushkin, of course, a renowned psychologist and the head of anxiety and trauma. Well, the head of the Anxiety and Trauma Clinic in Johannesburg. If you have an issue you need resolved and want to join us live on the show for some free therapy, is the wrong word, catharsis, you know, a community healing session.
An experience.
That's it. An experience is probably a better word. Get in touch, contact@cliffcentral.com. And it is going to be okay. And I think that's a really, really important message. And Dr. Hanan, before you leave, Dr. Hanan is counseling the whole of humanity's nature this morning. This man is a marvel. Couldn't agree more there, Dr. Hanan. Keep doing that great work. And we can't repeat
it. Beautiful. Thank you.
It's a wonderful message.
Thank you very much. Nice to see you guys.
Keep healing and have a great week. Stay golden out there, Dr. Hanan.
Bye, guys.
All right. That is Dr. Hanan Bushkin. It's going to be okay. Fantastic to have him on. Hey, important stuff, hey. Parents, family, tricky. Tricky. Managing up. You know, because I think, listen, nobody in school teaches us to manage up. Like, nobody teaches a 10-year-old to manage their teacher. Like, it's a really important thing in life. but we only have to figure it out like taxes when we're what, like 29? Because no, nobody like spoon feeds that to us, right? It's like tuck your shirt in is all they ever tell us. So, so Dr. Khanan, that guy's incredible, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
What a human. Well, what a human being he is. All right. Well, listen, we got plenty coming up on the other side. Collectomania. I cannot wait for Collectomania this week. I think if you're one for the classics, I think it's something that you want to hang around for and make sure that you are here to join us for that. But we will see you in a little bit. It's the GCS. CliffCentral.com.